Many of you may remember the car from the 1985 movie Back to the Future. A car that can time travel. Imagine you had one of these cars parked in your garage at home. Think of the many things you could do with such a car. What would you have done with a time machine?
You made it!
Yeah!
Welcome to my latest experiment. This is a big one, the one I've been waiting for all my life.
I thought of the many things that I would do with the time machine, and the same images kept coming up in my mind. The image of my father, Thomas Charles Marx. My sister, Lizelle. My other sister, Sandra. Images of friends and of family. All these people have something in common. They are no longer with us. I am sure that many of you have faces and names that you can add to this list. Imagine if you could time travel. Wouldn't it be nice to spend time with family and friends that are no longer around? My wife and I also lost two children, Dylan and Jenna, in 2006. It is amazing how loss changes your priorities in life. We were fortunate enough to have another boy and girl, Kewan and Kiana, who are now 6 and 4 years old. Think of the legacy that we could leave for our children, our parents, our families, their education, retirement, or a solid trust fund. We all remember the 2008 global economic crisis. I'm sure that there are not many people in the world who did not feel the pinch of a worldwide financial meltdown. My brother and I at the time owned two successful businesses, a thriving management consultancy firm and a property development company with over $130 million in assets. It is strange how life finds a way to teach us some really valuable lessons. What would we have done differently? How could we potentially have prepared if we knew what was on the horizon? So now I'm telling you that I have a time machine. You now have the chance to travel back in time, 5 years, 10 years. I've got the keys, let's go right now. Imagine that you had a chance to go back in time and invest in one of three shares, Alibaba, LinkedIn, Facebook. Knowing what you do today, would you be prepared to invest in any of these companies? Would you be prepared to invest $80,000 or $800,000 or even $8 million? What returns do you think you would have made? As a Series B investor, if you invested $80,000 in Alibaba pre-IPO in 2005, it would be worth $6.5 million today. Would you have invested $80,000? And as a Series B investor, if you invested $80,000 in LinkedIn pre-IPO in 2008, it would be worth $47.4 million today. Would you have invested $80,000 or even $800,000? And as a Series B investor, if you invested $80,000 in Facebook pre-IPO in 2008, it would be worth a massive $188 million today. Would you have invested $8 million? Knowing what I do today, I would most definitely take a ride back in time to my hometown of Johannesburg. It was named the City of Gold for a reason. In July 1886, gold was discovered on a farm called Langlaagte. Only 1 month later, by August 1886, the mine camp already had 3,000 mine workers, all needing accommodation, food, and infrastructure. What started as an informal settlement was the beginning of a major economy and major opportunities. Johannesburg today looks slightly different, with almost 13 million people living in the area around the city. Over 24,000 taxis on the roads with 1 million users each day. 683,000 cars. 530,000 commuters by train. And 242,000 commuters on buses daily. 836 schools, 4 universities and 173 colleges. 55 retail and shopping malls. 91 hospitals and clinics. 2 major and 35 minor airfields. Yes, Johannesburg today looks slightly different to what it did in 1886. Billions and billions of dollars has been invested in the development of infrastructure, housing, and industry. And this all as a result of the discovery of minerals. To put things into perspective, I would like to show you an advert made by a large South African insurance company. It shows the development of Sandton, which is situated on the outskirts of Johannesburg, and is today considered the economic hub of Africa.
This is the richest square mile in Africa and the powerhouse of its economy. But it didn't start that way. It started as an answer to a question ordinary people kept asking. Do you know how to make my little today enough for the day I no longer work or for the day I'm no longer around? That question, which determines someone's reality, should never be answered with theory or opinion. So we built the answer. A place we built with more than just concrete and glass. A place we built with knowledge that got stuck in and built a way to grow people's money in a way no one had thought possible. This became the richest square mile in Africa, the powerhouse of its economy, the day knowledge rolled up its sleeves.
Do you think Sandton would have even existed if it was not for the discovery of minerals? From 1999 to 2009, we were involved in developing various residential and retail developments in and around Johannesburg. We also owned a hotel in the southern Drakensberg and a beachfront lodge in Mozambique. Although our developments remained lucrative, the competition in the area was increasing. In 2010, we decided to move our focus to construction and remote site services for blue-chip mining, oil and gas companies. The competitive landscape was far more attractive. We have now built multiple workforce camps across Africa. There is a new trend developing in the mining, oil and gas industry, where clients opt to outsource their camp ownership to third-party companies on an owner-operator basis. This model allows for significant downstream revenue opportunities in camp construction, remote site services and procurement. And it is the primary reason why we are presenting to you today. We would like to invite you to join us and invest in this growing market and growing opportunity. Taking a closer look at the competitive landscape for owner-operator camps, we can see it is a growing market. In Canada, they already have 12 camps in operation with over 13,000 rooms. In the US, 5 camps and over 1,000 rooms. And in Australia, 18 camps with over 12,000 rooms. Our competitors are well established in these markets with over $1 billion in revenue per annum from 26,000 rooms. Africa and Middle East remains fairly untapped market potential. If we turn our focus to Africa, we find numerous boom towns with significant discoveries in mining, oil and gas. Like Johannesburg, there is an influx of thousands of workers with insufficient infrastructure, accommodation, and food. Let's take a closer look at some of the highlights. In Takoradi, Ghana, the government has made $780 million from oil production last year, and they plan on spending $20 billion in the development of oil over the next 5 years. Is this potentially the next city of oil? The population is expected to grow tenfold in Mtwara, Tanzania over the next 10 years due to major gas discoveries. Is it potentially the next city of gas? Billions of dollars is being invested in infrastructure and mining in Solwezi, Zambia, with a major shortage of hotel accommodation. Perhaps the next city of copper. Tet, Mozambique is considered the largest undiscovered coal province in the world, with a shortage of over 40,000 houses. Afungi and Pemba in Mozambique is expecting in excess of 20,000 workers over the next few years due to the discovery of large gas reserves. 20,000 additional homes will be built in Katu, South Africa due to large iron ore and manganese reserves. Is this the next city of iron ore? Considering all of this information, time travel would be amazing.
Future. I came here in a time machine that you invented. Now I need your help to get back to the year 1985.
My God. Do you know what this means?
Perhaps there is no crystal ball, and time travel is not yet readily available to all of us. Success, however, can be predicted. It was in our management consultancy days with the banks when we learned the value of careful planning and design, meticulous execution, and clear KPIs and performance management. The importance of leaving nothing to chance. This city did not build itself. The financial roadmap has been prepared by Ernest Mathewson, who is the former head of investment banking for HSBC Africa. It is by design that we will build 420 rooms in the first year of operation, ramping up to a total of 7,420 rooms within 5 years pre-IPO. It is also by design that we will IPO at a value of $1.5 billion in April 2021. By design, a Series A investor will double their investment within the first year of operation and realize returns in excess of 1,000% at time of listing. To achieve this ideal, we require $24 million equity investment to build the first 420 rooms. This Series A investment will secure a 36.9% equity stake in the new SPV in London. We have held back the launch of our Series A round and are making these shares available to you today. We only have 300 opportunities available at a cost of $80,000 per opportunity. We anticipate that we will close this round of investment shortly, with spillover investment moving into a Series B allocation. Let's take a closer look at the returns. For an $80,000 investment, you will receive in excess of $80,000 in dividends over the next 5 years, and furthermore realize a share value of over $800,000 upon listing. Should you decide to purchase 10 opportunities at $800,000, dividends of over $840,000, and a share value of over $8 million will apply. $100 shares will require an investment of $8 million and realize an accumulated return of close on $90 million. 300 shares, also at a multiple of 11. Will you invest $80,000 knowing that you will realize a return of over 1,000%? Can you afford not to? Today we are inviting you to join us to form a new SPV in London, one that will incorporate a diversified portfolio of companies and reduce market risk by capturing profits at multiple levels of the value chain. My name is Johan Marx. I am the Group CEO of Africamp International. Today I wish you prosperity and good fortune for the future, and I pray that you will leave an incredible legacy for those who you leave behind.